This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. This morning's Israel Report brought to you by Professor Eitan Gilboa. He's an expert on U.S.-Israeli relations at Bar-Ilan and Reichman Universities, senior fellow at the BESA Center for Strategic Studies. Professor Eitan Gilboa, good morning. Hoping you are well. I feel like I'm getting whiplash with this Iran-U.S. situation. It's cancelled. It's not cancelled. It's in Turkey. It's in Oman. It's talking about one subject. It's talking about three subjects. What on earth is going on?
We are at a stage where the sides are negotiating on the negotiations. There are critical issues that the sides have to sort out before they begin negotiations. So yesterday, the United States made a dramatic turn when they first announced that negotiations would not take place. Then they changed their mind, probably due to enormous pressure directed against the Trump administration by leaders of several Arab states in the Gulf. They are very much concerned about war. They want to make sure that every effort would be made to prevent war. It seems to me that the two sides, the United States and Iran, are not interested in war. They want to prevent war, and so they are struggling and battling the agenda. The United States wants to deal with the three issues, as you mentioned, nuclear infrastructure, number two, ballistic missiles, number three, support for proxies. Iran says only nuclear, and within nuclear, they only want to talk about the 400 kilograms of enriched uranium and not about other things. But it seems to me the United States gave up on location. It seems that location is important. As you mentioned, they first agree to negotiate in Istanbul, in Turkey. Now Iran said they want Muscat in Oman because they think that the place would be more favorable to them. Turkey invited several Arab countries, which Iran resisted. This is the reason for the Iran's request to go to Oman rather than to Turkey. So the U.S. gave up on this. Also, I must say, the United States also, by agreeing to negotiations, Trump has given up on regime change, because if you negotiate with the existing regime, it means ruling out a regime change in Tehran, and all of these are maneuvers to enter negotiations with some advantage. It seems to me that the issue of issues, like what issues are going to be included and which would not, as we mentioned, Iran only wants nuclear. The United States wants other issues. It seems that at the beginning of the negotiations, I need to say also, we have the whole today, and we have tonight, and things could change again because of all kinds of flip-flops and So assuming that the negotiations are going to begin tomorrow, it seems that the United States will say, this is our agenda. Iran would say, this is our agenda. And they will have to find some kind of a compromise. Otherwise, these negotiations would go nowhere.
Right.
But it seems that the United States wants a quick process. Iran wants a long process because Iran is known to use negotiations to save time for other things. And Trump is impatient. Mm. He wants results. And the reason for Trump's move to negotiations is the result of both internal and external pressure. There is some disagreement within his administration about using force against Iran. Marco Rubio, the foreign minister, the Secretary of State, and National Security Advisor, does not believe in negotiations. And he said yesterday, the United States must insist on the three issues we have discussed. On the other hand, we have the Vice President, who said yesterday that the President wants peaceful negotiations, peaceful settlement, but would not hesitate to use war. And the isolationists in Trump's base are also opposing military action. So you have internal pressure. We mentioned also the external pressure coming from Arab states. So this is, in my judgment, the reason for Trump's agreement to open negotiations. There's also an issue of legitimacy. Yes, Trump doesn't care much about international legitimacy. However, the more we move in time from the demonstrations against the regime in Iran and the killing of tens of thousands of people, the less legitimacy Trump has to use force. And he is concerned about both domestic and international legitimacy and must demonstrate that every effort has been made to avoid warfare. And this is the reason for negotiations. But I also have to mention that yesterday, while the government, while the administration decided to go to negotiations, officials said they are skeptical about the results, which means that in Washington, there's not much confidence in a successful resolution of the huge gaps between the two sides on a variety of issues.
We know Trump to be a brilliant negotiator. If there is a specific talent that the man has, it is his ability to negotiate a deal. Is there, and maybe
that's right.
I'm just being naive and too optimistic here, but maybe this is just very simply all part of whatever the strategy is.
Yes, I think that, he wrote, Trump wrote a book, a bestseller book on how to make deals. But deals you do in business and in international conflicts, you have agreements. And the processes are very much different. And Trump succeeded in Venezuela, failed in Greenland. He cannot afford himself another failure with Iran. He deployed so much forces here and promised to help the Iranians to topple the government. Help has not yet come, has not yet arrived. And his entire credibility is on the line. And therefore, one thing would be to enter negotiations and see what is the chance to achieve a good agreement. A good agreement would substantially restrict and even eliminate the Iranian nuclear weapons program. it would limit the production of ballistic missiles, both numbers and range, and it would end Iranian support for proxies. These are the maximum demands. Even if some compromise can be achieved on some of these issues, this would be, the Trump would consider that to be a victory, but there's much skepticism, both in Washington, in Israel, and the Gulf area, about the chance to achieve that kind of an agreement. So we should expect ups and downs and threats. These negotiations are going to be conducted under military threats from the United States as well as from Iran. There's going to be much tension, and the probability for success is small. Like, I don't know, I would give it no more than 20%.
And it depends how you define success, because my concern here is Iran is smart enough to, they take a longer term view. So even if they agree with something right now, all they want to do really is survive beyond a Trump presidency. And that hopefully will give them, for their sake, the ability to continue after that. And that to me is a worry, because I don't know that we'll ever see circumstances so aligned, so perfect again, to assist the people of Iran than we do today. But that's just my concern about this. I do want to ask you, we don't have a lot of time, we've only got 3 minutes, but about Syrian forces entering Kurdish cities. And apparently that's with U.S. backing. What's the story here?
Yes, this is also an American apparent failure, because the Kurds were the most loyal forces to the coalition the United States built against the ISIS forces in Iraq and Syria. Our audience may be surprised to know that these forces still exist in certain areas of Syria and Iraq. And this has been the reason for a United States small force in these areas, simply to block them and check them. There is an issue here with Ahmed Shara, the new president, new Syria. Trump defined him as a successful, good president with good relations with the United States. And under this cover, the jihadists that Ahmed Shara controls or belongs to are massacring, are conducting massacres in Kurdish areas. And I don't see much criticism or resistance from Washington. I think this is a bad message for the Middle East, because it is seen as betraying the Kurds and not helping them. The United States has some power over Ahmed Shara, but for various reasons, they do not exercise that power and allow that to happen. And this is also bad for Israel, because it increases the power of the jihadist segment in New Syria.
That is unfortunately where we do need to leave it. Very concerning. And somehow it does feel like it echoes the Iranian situation. But we will keep covering these stories and keeping you abreast of all developments. That was Professor Eitan Gilboa. He is an expert on U.S.-Israel relations at Bar-Ilan and Reichman Universities.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.